Good morning, 7:39 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of the city of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Glad to be back.
Absolutely. Great to have you. Back from a trip to Singapore, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Visit to ST Engineering, as you know, our large, not just the city's, probably the region's largest single economic development investment. And was able to tour all of their facilities. They do much, much more than just what they do here. And had some really interesting conversations about smart city technology that, started talking maybe some potential partnership on kind of being a pilot for some of their smart city technology that, anything from parking solutions to intersection solutions. I talked a lot about the Pensacola Beach light while I was there, not because that's in my purview, but just when you talk about one intersection, that's very crucial to the success of all of us.
Right.
We've been looking for solutions for a long time. They've already kind of figured some of that out. So really good, interesting conversations around all of that.
Yeah, it's always seemed like ST was, because that's what they do in other parts of the world. They do that kind of stuff. It's always seemed to me like they were eager to become a larger partner with us in more endeavors than just the hangars out on the airport. And which, of course, Hangar 3 is coming soon. So, good to... it's interesting to see you keeping up the communication that has gone back, of course, to, Mayor Hayward and Mayor Robinson and, building that relationship beyond just the one, as you say, massive economic investment project. Bruce Beach, I went and looked at it. It's gorgeous. I love it. One question.
Yeah.
Parking is kind of scarce. Is that a phase two thing? Also, accessible parking for ADA. Tell me how that's going to look eventually. It doesn't seem like there's enough, but you tell me.
So the answer is, I've learned probably in the first hour of this job, I'm not going to be able to please everybody.
yeah.
As we solved one issue, which was to not let a brand new park collect dust, in terms of, let's not have it just sit there when it's ready to go.
Right. Phase one is ready. Phase two is working. Recovery. Right. Right.
Correct. Which would have been, in terms of parking might have been an easier solution, but to answer your question, yes, phase two has some limited parking on the club's side. So kind of right before you get to Transmontane, you take a left there. There's parking that's going to be included within that. And then also understand there's a lot of confusion because there's private parking, yet again, private parking causing confusion with Nick's Boathouse and some of those locations over there. We do not control that. No, we are not putting in paid parking at our parks. But we also have the largest single surface area of parking anywhere in the city that's about a block away.
Right.
And
with the causeway, now you can walk right across, right?
That's correct. With the pedestrian bridge, and I understand people don't realize that may be there. They're thinking they've got to go, out of Maritime Park and then down Main and back. So it is, about a block and a half. And, also bear in mind, out of our 94 parks, how many of them have designated parking space? They might have on-street. They might not. Bayview has parking, obviously, but in certain sections, you're going to have to walk, a little bit or to be able to get there. So what I can tell you is how we use our space and how the phase two part from an ADA compliance standpoint, there's never been more thought put into a park in the history of the city, including working directly with the Center for Independent Living and, which is part of my transition team. What I can tell you is when we have a finished product, all of those things have been thought through. There will not be a massive parking lot that is there. There will be a much more accessible kayak launch on that side as well. That'll be easier for people to be able to get in phase two. So what I would say is let's enjoy the partial amenity because we can enjoy it. And then we can pass judgment on what did or didn't happen there once the entire project is actually complete. I consider it really a pilot at this point.
Very good. I'm going to ask you a question that I asked Matt Coughlin last week while you were in Singapore. A little bit unfair of me to ask him because it's not his decision exactly to answer, but I wanted to get your answer on this as well. One of the criticisms questions that I have been asked, and I think it's a fair one to ask, is why is it that when we have scarcity problems with parking at the airport, scarcity problems with overnight ramp space, scarcity problems with TSA processing capacity, why are we also expanding routes and flights and providers even?
Because number one, if we had really made the assessment that there was absolutely no viability, that we have hit our ceiling. There's no way for us to handle TSA. There's no way for us to – we were completely landlocked. We couldn't build one more parking space. If all of those things were definitive and true, then some of that logic would make sense, but they're not. We can find realistic solutions, as we did with TSA, as we're doing starting July 1 with building 400 more spaces that'll be done before the holidays. So the truth is we've had extremely rapid growth, like many airports around the country, maybe us even more so than others. But it's just one of those things when you have 12, 13% year-over-year growth and you keep beating your records by 12 and 13% every year, things are not going to be able to move as quickly. But what we aren't going to do is live in a culture of scarcity. We're going to live in a culture of abundance. And what I mean is we're not going to now limit our economic development opportunity or now send a message to our long partners, the airlines, and say, well, hey, don't look at new routes here. Don't look at potential growth here because we're pulling back. I would not put a direct correlation on us having one more flight and that's what's causing TSA problems. I have a feeling if we cut 10% of our flights right now, we would still be having the TSA problems because it's a staffing issue that we don't control. So yes, if we see the light, that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and this goes for any part of our city, where the data is not suggesting it, that we can't, that there's not opportunity for it to change or to be disrupted, then we should make smart decisions. Like, hey, do we scale this back? Do we do something different? Take recycling as an example. We're willing to do that, but what we're not willing to do is we've got a great airport and we have light at the end of the tunnel. We've got a path to victory to continue to be one of the fastest growing airports in the country. That doesn't mean we're going to eliminate growing pains. It just means what we want is these nonstop routes. We want to make our citizens, our residents more connected. We want to continue to let the airport be an economic driver for us.
I'm going to run an analogy by you. And I think at the end, you're just going to say, yep. But you tell me, let's imagine that you're the owner of a bar, let's say a bar on, say, Garden Street. And let's say you don't have any customers in the beginning. And in the beginning, what people really like about this bar is that they can walk right up to the bar and order it, and they can pick any table in the place and sit there and not be bothered. But then over time, the bar becomes a little bit more popular. And as it becomes more popular, you can't just walk in and get a seat. You can't just walk up to the bar and get your order filled. And people start to get irritated about that. And at a certain point, you have so many people that, people start to gripe a little bit. And so at that point, you make plans to buy the next door building and expand. And, when you're in that process, people might gripe. But, it's not that you're out of capacity. It's just that, you're a little bit more stressed compared to where it used to be. Do I pretty much have it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can say that about a lot of departments.
I mean, not that you would know anything about that particular analogy, right? I know that particular analogy doesn't apply to you at all, but,
Well, look, and Andrew, this is what it comes down to on every one of these things. On 75% of what I do, change for the better still causes anxiety, and
absolutely.
I understand that. And so I know that anxiety, complaining, negativity can sometimes is a package, a conduit of change causes anxiety for all of us, right? I mean, if our routines get changed, so I understand that, but that can't inhibit our growth. Again, we can't run from what the opportunities are to make this a better place to live tomorrow than it was today.
Right,
so, you hear the same logic about parking. Well, I used to be able to find a spot down here. Well, yeah, there was no restaurants or bars or anything down here.
Right,
there was nothing
exactly
to do 25 years ago. So, yeah, you could find a free space. But now we've got to deal with real, adult decisions and solutions about where we are and where we want to be. So, I think a very good analogy. It sounds familiar.
We're talking to DZ Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola and the former owner of Perfect Plane. Not that that's related. You talked about this yesterday in your press conference. The community engagement specialists are a raging success, in my opinion, based on what you've shared. This is the folks who go out and try to serve needs like with PPD and help out. And the number of calls is amazing. I actually think of this as reverse 211. This is, instead of just waiting for people to passively call in and say, we've got a problem, they're going out in the community to try to find people who might need services, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you saw, I think it was, in the high 300s of the first quarter, and I think we've had 253 interactions in April. So Tom and Brittany are doing a great job, PPD doing a great job coordinating that. Our goal is to not hope that someone else is doing something. And we've got many great partners that want to reduce homelessness that have been doing it for a long time, and they continue to be vital to our community response success, right? If we don't have anywhere to take someone, we can't do it all. You know, right. What we're doing is being proactive about we see someone visibly homeless or if we think has a mental health issue, and then we call on our very vital partners around this community to help us get to a positive outcome. And so, you know, we get stories every week of, you know, the county's Connect program that they put $30,000 in to get people home that may have gotten here one way or another, that their best chance for success and getting on their feet is back where they live. And we just had another one of those in April. So I think, you know, we sent several people through there to get a bus ticket or whatever to get back home and get to their parents or their brother or sister. So we continue to see that. We've seen a significant positive step in terms of visible homelessness downtown. I do know that. And compared to where we were before this program had started, because when we see those folks, we say, hey, how can we get you a hand up? What services can we get? We just got someone, they didn't realize they could have early retiree benefits from, I believe it was military service. Wow. And they didn't even know they could get that. We helped them make that happen along with some of our partners. So now that person's got some opportunity to get off the street.
And I think so I particularly,
that's the thing that we wanted to have happen.
And I think I love the idea that it's something other than the law enforcement or nothing dilemma, and neither of those is always a great approach, and this is something else that maybe is going to be beneficial for everybody. Hey, last quick thing, you talked about anxiety. I know people are anxious about Palafox, and if you could, in maybe like 30 seconds, just maybe sure. What are one or two things you're actually thinking about in terms of possible changes?
Well, I think there's a few things. Number one, making it more walkable in terms of there being a cohesive collective thought around the sidewalks and pedestrian access along Palafox. No, we're not saying we're going to close the road permanently. You know, and it's one of those natural balances, Andrew, that on one hand, I want to be very upfront and transparent with our community, both in what we're intending to do, as well as to get their feedback. But on the flip side, when you do that, the downside of that is people are worried that you've picked out the paint colors to the bench
right.
or to the chair, you know, and so it's that natural give and take. So I have not even seen a set of plans yet of what we have engineers working on that right now. And we're going to look at what our options are, what those costs are. So we are okay. Very, very early in this right now. So I can give you some rough ideas. Yes. You know, we might be moving some parking to the side streets, but we don't even know if that's going to be net negative positive. We're talking about a handful of spaces potentially to increase pedestrian safety and access. So anyway, there's a lot that's still worked through, but what we want is this is one of the best downtown streets in the United States. And when we have a big multi-million dollar project that's already going to happen on that road, it would not be prudent of us to miss this opportunity.
And I will
look at this and say, well, you know, while we're already got shovels in the ground on Palafox that's going to cause inconvenience for months, is there additional amenities, additional enhancements that we can do?
Yeah, and I will just say this, without advocating for it, I think it would be well worth having that conversation about just, you know, could this be a walkable district entirely? I mean, I've seen other cities obviously do it to great effect. I'm not saying we should have just, you know, let's put everything on the table and think about it and really think about the implications sure. And, you know, consider our alternatives. We always like to end with a lightning round. First question, paddleboard, kayak, or other?
Kayak. Yeah, I've got to work on my balance, Andrew. It's been a while.
You know. It's that core, you know. When you're using the Windex, this is going to be a key determiner of our relationship. When you're using the Windex, stream or spray?
Oh, absolutely spray. I mean,
thank
stream.
You.
Stream's uncontrollable. It's disorganized. You don't know where it's going to go. It's got to absolutely be a spray from the right distance, of course.
Yeah, so. Take that, Jimmy. And then last, when you're eating your buffalo wings, flats or drums?
I'm a 100% drums. You can bring me all drums. I don't know how people – I see people like flats. My girlfriend loves flats only, so that works out.
Nice balance.
I'm absolutely a drum guy. I think flats is a mess. I'm a drum guy.
Nice. T.C. Reese is the mayor of Pensacola, and he's lucky enough to be in a good, compatible, differential relationship where he likes the drumettes and she likes the flats, and that sounds like bliss forever for him. D.C., thanks so much.
Heaven.
Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All All right, thanks, Andrew.